Interesting, as I was studying for this, it helped me to contemplate a little bit more about Mother's Day. And as I reflected on what Mother's Day is and what I wanted to share, it brought me to the point of a little bit of a sadness. For me, this is the first year, 2009, that I'm going into that I'm really an orphan. I lost my dad last year and my mom a number of years ago. I lost my in-laws a number of years ago. So LaWayne and I don't have any more parents that are living. But as I reflected on that, God really used that to touch my heart and some of the things that I want to say today. And as I thought about this, I did a little bit of history. I was never a good student, but I'm getting to like to study history. My wife's an avid history student, and she's helped me to do that. But let me give you a little history on Mother's Day. A little research that I found in America, back in the early 1900s, a woman by the name of Anna Jarvis wanted to make Mother's Day special. So she started to, stir up some credibility for that, and she is actually credited with, in America, making Mother's Day the second Sunday in May an official holiday. She got President Woodrow Wilson to make that happen, and in 1912, Mother's Day was declared second Sunday in May for us to honor our mothers. The good thing. One of the special things about Anna, though, is when she encouraged the nation to think this way, she wanted to spell it M-O-T-H-E-R apostrophe S. She didn't want it to just be a national where we honor all mothers. She wanted it to be a day where she honored her mother. I thought that was special. So today, we are to honor our own mothers. And I did that in a way of celebration. I'm going to share a little bit about that as we get into the lesson. Now, most countries in the world followed suit with America, and they celebrate it as well, second Sunday in May. Not all nations do that. This is interesting. Norway celebrates it the second Sunday in February, right off the bat. Indonesia celebrates it December 22nd. And then there's a scattering of other nations that celebrated different days, but mostly the nations followed suit with America, and they celebrate it on the second Sunday of May. The UK started a celebration of Mother's Day in the 16th century, and they called it Mothering Day. That sounds a little wussy to me, but I guess it's okay. Mothering Day. I guess I like to be mothered, so that's what they did. And you can go back as far as Greek mythology, where they honored the mothers of the gods. But honoring mothers always was and is God's idea. And we can go back to Exodus 20, and we can see the history of that, where God took 10 commandments and declared them as the moral law for all time. And it's interesting to know the first four commandments are about our relationship with God. The first one being, you shall have no other gods before me. God was adamant about that. I am the only true God. And he gave us four instructions to follow, commands. When he gets to the fifth one, he changes it. And the very first one that deals with relationship horizontal, first four is vertical between us and God. The next six are vertical between each other, which follows the command, love God with all your heart of the first four. Loving each other is the next six. The first one is honor your father and your mother all the days of your life, and it will prolong your life. It's a command with a promise. God intends for mankind to honor our parents. It's a right thing to do. It's a God-honoring thing. And we need to do it. Today, the world would try to redefine what parenting is. And you know what I'm talking about. Even here in America, we're on the brink of some very serious, tragic things that our world and even government is trying to redefine what it means to be a family, where God clearly says it's father and mother. So we need to be able to stand firm on this because it's something that God wants us to have. So what I want to do, just with the time that we have here, is I want to share four aspects of thinking about mothers today. I want to look at those of us who have had very good experiences growing up with mothers. I want to take some time with those of us who have not had good experiences with mothers, parents. I want to look at the aspect of those of us who are not mothers. I'm not a mother, never will be. There's some of you out there that are not mothers, but there's something that God wants us to understand, and I think it'll be very encouraging to you. And then the fourth is those who are mothers at the present time. So if God wills, we'll carry this out, and hopefully it'll all be an encouragement to you. Those of us who had wonderful, good experiences growing up with mothers, I was one of them. I shared with you a number of weeks back that I had difficulty growing up in my family with some of the difficulties my mother had. If you remember, I shared my mother had some mental illness, and it really caused some heartache, some tragedy in our lives. But regardless of all those things, I was blessed to have a mother who absolutely loved me. She wasn't the perfect mother. I'm going to share a little story, but I just want to share on that note, and this is interesting too. Don't know if you thought about it. In the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, he said, "I will make man and woman in the image of God." When they were created, we had perfect man, and he was a perfect husband. We had Eve, who was a perfect woman and a perfect wife. Never were they perfect parents. Sin entered their lives before they had children. So they had to deal with that. And I didn't have a perfect mom. I would imagine if God was scoring my mom, there's a few things that she would have probably got zero on. One was, and I thought it was great, chick hated school growing up. How many here really didn't like school? Be honest. All right. I don't feel alone. I hated it. Two things chick loved, music and sports. That's all I wanted to do. Play, 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 play. So when school started and I had to get up, you probably heard the story. I didn't have buses pick me in front of the house. I had to walk miles to school in the snow. All right? I would tell my mom, "I don't feel too good, Mom. What's wrong?" "My stomach hurts." "Okay, you stay home." Didn't have to fight with her at all. I ended up fighting with my own kids over that. I think because I learned a lesson. But my mom let me stay home anytime I wanted. Then 3 o'clock came. My friends are all out playing. "Mom, I feel all better." "Okay, you can go out and play." I don't think she would have got an A+ for mothering that way. And I'm not sure all the issues. I think part of it, sad to say, is her growing up and the iron-fisted mom that she had and vowed she'd never be that way. So the pendulum swung and she was a softie. But I'll tell you what, I loved my mom. And I never doubted for a moment my mom loved me. So in this whole aspect of experiencing a mom who was good, loving, and caring, I reflected on this time of teaching, and I spent time on my knees thanking God for my mother. It's what I want you guys to do too. Those of you who had good experiences with your mom, you do not take it for granted. Be someone who appreciates them, even though I do not have any parents anymore, I want to honor them by understanding that they were a gift from God. And I appreciate God's heart and mercy and grace on me that he would give me a mom who loved me and a mom who loved God and taught me the things of God. So my first encouragement for those of us who've had good experience with moms, you tell God, thank him, be grateful, because ultimately it was God watching out for you in that situation and gave you just what you needed. I was received a mom who was perfect for me in her imperfection, and I'm grateful for God. Two, I am very aware, and even in this church today, there are some of us who have not had good experiences with mom. How do we handle that when the questions come up? Why me, Lord? Do we blame God? How do we deal with the hurts and the pain? Here's my encouragement to you. You need to understand, and I want to try to emphasize the most powerful way. For you and I who are believers, who want to understand more and more the Christian life, you and I need to understand the powerful, ugly effect of sin on all mankind. When Adam and Eve sinned, they become imperfect parents. Who knows the role they played in the whole part of Cain and Abel and why Cain became jealous of Abel and killed him? Not sure about that. The scripture doesn't tell us. But the ravageness of what sin does to this world is unbelievable. And what's happening to children today through parents is an outrage that angers our God. And some may say, why doesn't he do something about it? He is. And God is right on time with what he's doing. We're impatient. We want it to happen now. It's personal. God, you save me now. Here's what you and I need to understand. For those of us who have had hard experiences, hurtful, painful experiences through moms who didn't measure up to what God wanted them to be because of sin, understand that. Don't have your expectations too high. Because of sin, moms and dads cannot measure up to the expectations we have. That's why the story of Christ is so wonderful. Because sin in Christ can be done away with. Now it's possible, and I want to talk about that a little bit later. It's possible because of Christ to become a mom and a dad who can honor God. But if you're here today and you reflect on Mother's Day and it's painful, I want to encourage you with this. God says, and he said this to Joseph, when Joseph was just so mistreated and betrayed by his brothers, God helped him to understand through that experience and all of life that they meant it for evil. There's moms here that do not love their children the way God intends, and it brings hurt. And they sometimes even want to bring the hurt. That's not God's intention, but God can take those hurtful moments and make them for good. And if you're here today and have experienced those hurts, here's what I want to tell you. God has even used those experiences to bring you to this point in time, in this room right now, so that you could be healed. See, there's some of us that need situations that are hard to bring us to the point where we see we need God. And I want to say this, there is nothing, nothing more important than every human being getting to the point, getting to the place where they know they need a Savior. Scripture says this, what should a profit a man or anyone if they gain the whole world and lose their own soul? Our salvation is that critical. And God has used and is using your childhood experiences, hurtful experiences, to bring you to the point, even now, where you can give them to the Lord Jesus. The scripture says, I have come to heal the brokenhearted, to take your pain and suffering. That's the message of the gospel that is so encouraging. Don't stay in your bitterness, hurtfulness, pain, and suffering. Bring them to Jesus. And Jesus can begin to repair and restore the human soul that was damaged. Nothing else can. Only Jesus. That's the message of those of us who have had hard, painful experiences with our moms. Give them to Jesus. Then I want to talk about those of us who are not moms. Jeremy, if you would put up 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I call it the 7-11 verses. It's really neat to see that this is even in our study. Last week, George talked about Paul being as a father, and that's in verse 11. But I want to bring attention to verse 7 of chapter 2. This is Paul talking. But we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. Put up verse 11. This is what George shared last week. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. Those of you who don't have mothers, you don't escape being a mom. Paul took on qualities of a mom. Paul took on qualities of a dad. And that's the encouragement of the scriptures for us. Now, the neat thing about, and it ties in so well with what we've been studying about Thessalonians, the neat thing about here at Hope, we have people here, especially women, who are not moms, who have absolutely taken on the role of moms. And wow, what a blessing. I can take on the role of mom. You know, when we look at, back in Genesis, when we look about the creation of man and woman, God said, I will make them to mirror who I am. Well, the world says that men and women are different. How many believe men and women are different? Raise your hands. They're different. I'm still working on understanding them. And I'm getting better. Here's what I've really learned. I've learned to understand that I don't understand, and as long as I know that, I can work with that a lot better. I can be patient and sympathetic and just say, yes, dear. It helps. They definitely are different. The world says men are from Mars and women are from Venus. I'm not sure what that means, all right? Here's what the scripture says. Both men and women were made in God's image. And I believe this. God gave qualities to women that were part of who God was, but he didn't give them to men. Then he turned and he gave qualities to a man that are from God, but they're not the qualities of a woman. They're different. You put them together, and you get some pretty neat things. Again, when we read scripture in Genesis, sin tells us one of the curses that they had that God revealed to them is not only will a woman have pain in childbirth, but they're going to be always wanting to have that position of, how would you say it? They're always at odds wanting to be their own person. Selfishness, wanting to accomplish your own agenda, men and women are going to go at it because of sin. That creates a tough atmosphere. That's why we need a Savior, so that we can submit all those things and let God restore to us what he intended for a husband and wife to accomplish as a mom and dad. And again, it can only be accomplished through Christ. But let me get back to that. So what I want to say here with those of us who aren't moms, I'm not a mom, but Paul mirrors for us that there's times that he treated people as a mom would treat them, tender, careful. in our family growing up, and it was a natural thing. I saw the difference between a woman and a man, a husband and a wife, a mom and a dad. That whenever my kids did something, dads were there to tell them what they did wrong. And here's how you do it right. It's just who we are, guys. Moms would put their arm around them. I would give my kid 40 days detention in his room without coming out. Mom would say, that's too stiff. So we'd have to work that out. And she was right. And over the years, we can learn to borrow those qualities, to mirror those qualities of each other, those good qualities that God intended us to have. We have single women here who absolutely take on the role and the characteristics of moms. And I want to tell you, they're irreplaceable. I can't tell you how many times, as my daughter grew up here, that these single women cared for my daughter just as much as her own mom. That is special. That is so needed in the church. Now, if you ask the Obad children about Joy, they'll call her Aunt Joy. And that's a special relationship they have. But you know what? Joy takes on the role of a mother. She doesn't take Phyllis's place. She supports her in that role of caring for kids the way a mother would care for kids. We need that here in our generation and society. And we are blessed to have it here at Hope. If you don't have children, you can still be a mom. Now, our encouragement at Hope, you young marrieds, Genesis says, be fruitful and multiply. Give us more. Those middle-aged, that's why we're encouraging with Hope's Treasures to go and adopt or foster kids. More kids. For us who are old, and Lori and I prayed about, can we foster kids? And we said, probably best not to. But we can still support. I can still take the attributes of a mom and care for the kids we have here and care for kids at Christ Home and the kids in Uganda and wherever we have an opportunity. The attribute of a mom is crucial. And if you're not a mom, you can still display it. Paul did. You can be a mom, Jonathan. You would be a better dad, but you can take on those roles. Absolutely. Single people, you can display the characteristic of mothers because they're essential and they're irreplaceable. I remember just thinking through this. Barb's going to be the only one to remember this because Barb and I grew up in the same church. We got some history here. Mr. and Mrs. Forsythe, a couple that never had children, and every Sunday, they didn't have Learner Sunday like we did. Every Sunday, we called a children's church. Every Sunday, they taught us while the big church, that's what we called it, big church was going on. Every Sunday for years and years. What faithfulness that was. And I can still remember because they had flannographs. Anybody know what flannographs are? Huh? Old people. Flannographs where they'd stick these people on the board and they'd stick it. And they had these giants. And I remember they would teach us, there's giants in the land. Pride, jealousy, all those characteristics that God didn't want in our lives. And they scared us. I don't want to be a prideful giant. So we knew there was things in our life that we shouldn't have. There was true parents that loved us. And I've never forgotten that. If you're not a mom, you can still take on the role and the attributes of a mom. It's that important. And Paul modeled that even in the church of Thessalonica. Now, I want to talk to those of you who are moms or grandmoms or great-grandmoms. All right? Your role is special. And I've already said this. Back in the beginning, as God designed what the world wanted to look like, a perfect world, he said it will take both men and women, moms and dads, who will live godly lives so that they can train godly kids. And I'll tell you, never more in our history do we need that now. All you have to do is see what our kids are into and how far off they're going from what God intended life to be. It is death out there for our kids. Moms, your role is absolutely essential. And I want to just give you a couple qualities of what that may look like. We saw in the video some descriptions of moms. If I would ask you to describe what you think would be the perfect mom, some of you may say, well, I want my kids to grow up and be professional people, to really get a good education and to be smart and to be able to afford things in this life. It's not a bad thing. I want my kids to fulfill all their potentials of whatever that may be, a doctor, lawyer, sports. It could be just a carpenter. Not a wrong thing to do. As Dom said, I want my kids to obey me. That's a good thing. What I want to encourage you moms today, as you're raising your kids, grandmoms, as you're helping and supporting your family, it is key to ask the question, not what I think will be the ideal qualities of a mom, what does God think? Absolutely, that is the most important analysis or question you need to ask. What would God say a mom should be? We can go to Proverbs chapter 1, and it says this: Sons, listen to the instruction of your father and to the teaching of your mother. Moms, be teachers. Teachers of God's word. Teachers of who God is. Not only teach them, but mirror and model what that is so that you're not a hypocrite before them. Very important. And you can't be that unless you're having a relationship through Christ and you're growing and maturing and understanding God's ways. 2, the classic verse on raising kids, Deuteronomy 6. Anybody know what that says? Okay, that's a good one. Deuteronomy talks about when you walk in the way, when you sit down, when you stand, teach your kids who I am. God's saying that. Put something around your finger to remind you that. Put it on the doorpost. Now, again, I want to do this as an encouragement and not slam you on this, all right? Moms and dads, we're going to have dad next month. We need to be men and women who have children to model and teach them the truths about God. There is nothing more important than that. And then the third thing I want to encourage us to be. Moms, you need to be women of prayer. You need to be on your knees, crying out for God's mercy upon your children. If you don't pray for your kids, we're in trouble. We just went through the National Day of Prayer. We as a Christian people, I don't want to say Christian nation anymore. I think we've lost that. As Christian people, followers of Christ, we need to be men and women of prayer for our nation and all the important things. But nothing more important than praying for your children. It's foundational for our society. And all of us can pray. Moms, be people of prayer. Make the time to pray. Luane and I kid you not, every day we pray for our little grandson, Maddie, for his salvation. We believe in our hearts there is absolutely nothing more important for that little guy to know who Jesus is. And I cry before my Father, have mercy on my grandson. I want him to know who you are. We need to pray fervently, consistently, that our kids would know who God is. Mom, your role is crucial. The book of Job tells us that Job made an altar before God even when his kids were grown up, that he would pray for them, that they would follow in his ways. Moms, what a wonderful privilege it is for you to be women of prayer, praying for your kids. And of course, then we pray for all of our kids. We take time to pray for our learning center here, the teachers, the children, that they would be men and women growing up to learn who God is. Nothing more important, nothing of a higher honor for us to be men and women, moms who pray for their kids. Let's pray. Father God, how we thank you that moms was your idea. When you created Eve, you knew that her body was able to bear children. We thank you for the miracle of that. And Lord, we want to ask for wisdom as we stand in a society who's trying to change all that. Father, it's not your ways. And if it's not your ways, even as Scott taught us 2 weeks ago, if it's not your will, it's sin. And sin will always destroy and kill and bring death. So Lord, we pray for the moms today. We want them to have a wonderful day, celebrating, having meals together, honoring them. But we pray that their role will just continue to be of such a powerful effect in the life of a child. Lord, you need to strengthen the family. The husband and wife need to be in love with each other, in love with you, so that they can love their kids. We thank you for your word that instructs this way. Lord, we confess we cannot do it without your Spirit. Help us all to pray that way. Make hope a place where love abounds so much between all of us here, moms and dads, that our kids wouldn't want anything else but Jesus. In the name we pray, amen.